Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's a Victory Monday this week, back on the right track, so no complaints here.
At this point of the season, as good as it could be, I mean, ideally like to be 10-0, but 8-2, great record, good enough to be first in the NFC right now. So first in a pretty top-heavy loaded conference right now, which, I mean, not to sit like, you know, no one's clinched. Everyone still has work to do to get there, but it's looking like, you know, 5 of the 7 playoff teams in the NFC are kind of accounted for. Any one of them could fall off, have a losing streak, and then fall back into the pack. And then after that, it's going to be pretty wild for those last two wild card spots, I think. So the NFC playoffs in general will be good. I know the Packers in a couple weeks have a bye week coming up. I keep mixing up when it is. But when that happens, we might spend an episode kind of just taking stock of the NFL in general and standings and that. But here we are today to talk about the Packers' victory over the Seahawks, 17-0. I know you mentioned something just before we came on, Jesse, as kind of a first for the NFL, and like, you know, kudos to the Packers defense on this one.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you got the great Russell Wilson, right? He's never been shut out before in his career. And no one figured this, right? I mean, I thought we were going to score some points, and I thought it was going to be, you know, a little bit of offense, and 17-0, and we shut him out. Granted, you know, you could say that he was a little rusty. Well, so was Aaron Rodgers, and it doesn't matter. Winning in the NFL is winning. These guys are good. And shout out Russell Wilson for the first time in his career. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, indeed. And I think just for the Packers in general, they mentioned it was the first shutout for the team defensively since 2018 against the Lions, which, okay, it's the Lions. I'm not sure if Stafford played. If Stafford didn't play, that's not really that impressive. But, I mean, well, it is. It's a shutout. Like, I should dismiss the man. I'm so mean to the Lions, right? It just diminishing them. Hey, at least they will not go 0-17. That's the good news for Detroit.
Sure is. Yeah, they got a tie yesterday. So yeah, first shutout since 2018, and then I think the next one goes back to the Jets, I think, in 2010, the Super Bowl season. So, you know, not trying to keep talking about that year and this year, but yeah, it's been a long time, no doubt. It's a pretty good accomplishment. Probably the biggest thing that I got out of it was astounding to me. We had 32 quarterback pressures. That blows my mind. If it wasn't Russell Wilson, it'd probably be 11 sacks or more. But they got 32 pressures on him yesterday. And that guy can move and he gets out of the pocket, right? Because there's a lot that he was stuck in the backfield and somehow he got out of it, whether he completed it or not. But other quarterbacks don't get out of that. So that was one of the biggest stats I took away from this game. It was pretty mind-blowing.
Well, we knew that, really, going into the year. I think that was going to be like that and Patrick Mahomes, the reason we had those guys at 1-2 in our preseason quarterback rankings for who the Packers would face. That was like the reason we said that for both of them. Like, this great pass rush has to be really disciplined and contained. And I thought they did well enough doing that. I mean, there were times when he would just somehow find a way to escape and run for a first down, but there was no like field tilting. Oh, there it goes off for 50 yards in the middle of the defense. Like, there was none of that, which unfortunately has been the case in the past for the Packers with rushing quarterbacks. But yeah, I think as good as the defensive line could have played, considering that quarterback, like you said, for basically, if it's not like Wilson or Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers himself, yeah, double digit sacks might have been the case for the Packers. Kenny Clark, questionable, up like a game time decision, and I mean he looked in it. You know, I think they managed his snaps well. When he was playing, he looked great. Like, he had the explosiveness, and I know he tried to chase Wilson a couple times and run, and the big guy almost caught him. And I know with Wilson, it's a hand injury, so like the legs are obviously still there. So Clark looked good. I think that was a good sign. So hopefully, you know, even if he's limited participant in practice through this week, coming up here, probably means he should be fine for next week. As maybe less limitation on the snaps. I still think that, you know, it seems like they're never going to let him play like 80% of the snaps. Like, they always want to kind of keep him fresh and three quarters max, but ideally two thirds the snaps. I mean, we may have talked about that before. I like numbers. Number of times we've talked about that. But good news to see Kenny Clark look so good.
Him and Preston Smith both led the way with seven pressures each. And like you're saying, you know, like, he looked great, and he should not have to play every snap. And like you said, we talked about it, because other guys are stepping up. A guy that's just really quietly getting better and better and better is TJ Slayton. He also had four pressures. And if you look back, if you just want to dig into Ben Fennell on Twitter, does a lot of work and breaks down plays. He was a man among boys on plays. I mean, they had that interior O line on roller skates, him and Kenny Clark. So it's nice to see this rookie already. And it's hard to come in as a rookie on the D line, right? I mean, even some great ones struggle early. This kid is quietly becoming a force. And he just keeps getting better. It was really impressive just seeing, you know, some replays on that and how good he was. Really neat to see. So Kenny Clark's getting a little bit of help inside. Maybe we can get some guys healthy, you know, to help out even more. And good things can happen, right? When everybody's doing their job, winning their one-on-ones, like you said, stay in your lane where they kind of contained Russell Wilson. Or yeah, he's going to get his plays. He's going to make some plays. He's a great player. But at the same time, he didn't do those game-changing plays that we've seen him do so many times, or this defense get gashed by in the past. So the unit is playing as one. It's something to see. I'm sure we're going to dig into the secondary, because this secondary play is amazing too.
Yeah, before we get to that, though, I think this might be a good transition point to kind of talk about something that we unfortunately have to, for the, you know, injuries have kind of, it's been a common thing for the Packers even before the season started. So, you know, that's football. It's not, you know, the Packers aren't any worse off than any other team. A lot of, you know, name me the NFL team that isn't dealing with a ton of injuries to key players as well. But unfortunately, you know, well, fortunately for Slayton, maybe it's not the circumstances you want. You don't ever want to see your teammates get hurt, but he might be expected to play a much bigger role, certainly in the next couple weeks. So Rashawn Gary going down, he had an elbow hyperextension, I believe. Initial reports on that seem to say that he avoided any ligament damage, no fractures or anything. So, you know, avoided a season-ending injury, it looks like. And then Aaron Jones also got hurt. MCL sprain, it looked bad. It also looks to have avoided a season-ending injury. But my just quick thing to say, Jesse, is I don't expect to see either before the bye week. That'll be something that come after the bye week. And even then, like, especially for Jones, and we'll get into that soon, I don't know that there's a big need to rush him back before the playoffs if they get that locked up. So anyway, so good to see Slayton stepping up, because, again, he might be needed real soon.
Right. And with Gary, that crazy fella, he's already talking about he's playing next week. He's going to try to put in a brace and play. I think the coaching staff and medical staff might tell him, hey, you're going to take a week off. But that was the one I was really worried about, how that arm, they didn't want to show it again. So that right there scares you. But sounds like it was just, you know, hyperextension, dislocation maybe. But no, he's getting an MRI tomorrow. But he's already reporting that he bends and doesn't break, and he's going to try to play next week. But we'll see. Yeah, I'm kind of like you. Take it easy, young man, and take a week off or two. But, yeah, we haven't – Whitney Merciless got hurt too, and we're not hearing nothing back. So that one I think is a little bit more serious. So I wish him the best too, because he's been playing really good football. That was a great pickup. I'd like to see him again this year. Yeah, then with Aaron Jones, yeah, definitely. The running back kind of – that's totally different, you know, where, yeah, if he has to sit to the playoffs, I'd rather have fresh running backs in the playoffs, where other positions you kind of want him to knock the rust off. I'm not worried about that with him in the running game. So he is lucky, because this is the third time that he's actually sprained that same MCL on that knee, and every time he's come back within 2 weeks. So I'm with you. Let him rest at least after the bye week, but who knows? We'll see.
Yes, I remember listening to a podcast. I think it was Scott Connor on the Dynasty and Chill podcast. And he had mentioned that specifically, that, yeah, 2017, it happened twice. One happened, technically, the second time it was season ending, but it happened in week 16. So he missed the rest of that game, week 17, like that's it, right? So it's not knowing for sure what the extent of that injury was. He was fine, good to go. 2018, I believe, like there were no limitations in training camp. So that seemed like, yeah, that wasn't too significant. So to be fair, that was what I was worried about. Like I thought he was done for the year. Like just the way it looked, the hit, the way he was coming off, kind of his body language, and I know some of the things that were kind of mentioned in the broadcast. Whether it was the sideline reporter had mentioned, just kind of his demeanor. I kind of thought season ending there. So I think really fortunate. I believe I saw a tweet today said 1 to 2 weeks, which I thought that was really generous. Like, okay, if it's 1 to 2 weeks, the Packers will probably be an extra week at that. So I actually really like the point you said, right? Like a running back, if, like, let's say the perfect world, the Packers get the first round bye and Aaron Jones doesn't play till the division round, you're not so worried about him, right? Like he's got such great vision, right? Like he's got the good football IQ. He knows how to read the line. And by that point, hopefully the line's fully healthy. That'll be at its like optimal peak, and all the young guys will have gotten a full season's work of reps. And so like you're not so worried about Jones just coming in there right away and producing, right? Like it's probably better the rest. And then whereas other positions, maybe you like you say, like specifically for a wide receiver, you want to get those routes in first, and then that just that connection with the quarterback. So if it's like a, you know, that might be one thing where you limit Jones as a pass catcher that first game back, you know, draw that as much as he kind of eases into it. But yeah, who knows, maybe he comes back for the regular season, but I think that's kind of what to be prepared for. But not like in terms of the Packers state again, it sucks because Gary and Jones are great players, but then who's on the depth chart immediately behind them, also great players. You wanted to mention the secondary, Jesse. So I'll let you talk about that and how the defensive backs played in this game against what I thought was going to be like a really dominant duo, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. I was a little worried going in that, you know, if you had told me the Packers would only have scored 17 points, I'd going in and not telling what the Seahawks score is, I might have been concerned there. Oh, how are Metcalf and Lockett doing against these corners? But yeah, so take it away. I know you want to talk about the defensive back so much.
Man, they're playing amazing football. That's it's unreal. Yeah, like you said, you know, going into this matchup, I was worried, especially like you got the size of Metcalf, which how do you match up on that, right? He's just a physical freak. And then Lockett is so good vet with the speed and route running. And they didn't have a catch until the second half. They got locked down. I just can't say enough about the whole unit as a whole. Like Kevin King is stacking successes, had another great game. You know, this is a guy Seattle has picked on in the past and just basically mocked him, and he shut it down. Eric Stokes, I mean, that guy's there's no separation with that kid. He is on everybody like glue. And then is there a better safety combo in the league right now? I can't think of one. Adrian Amos probably should have had 4 interceptions, and I know he's kicking himself, but that dude plays football hard. He's just so assignment sure. He's never out of position. And then you got Savage, who can fly around everywhere and just takes away space. I haven't seen a secondary like this in a long time, and we're still missing our best player. So if when he comes back, what a group! This was an area that we were worried about depth and all these issues, and that goes a lot to the Packer brass bringing in guys and trusting these guys. But you get Jair back, and then suddenly it's like you're 4 and 5 guys deep. It's just a nice thing to say. Now let's stay healthy and knock on wood. And we have another matchup coming up with good receivers, but from an area that we were really worried about early in the year, you know, they're not giving up big plays. Heck, they're not giving up anything. You look at the 3 quarterbacks they played in the last 3 weeks and to hold them to only 1 passing touchdown. Hey, I would have called you a liar. So that's something really special that they're doing right now in the secondary. And it's the whole defense. It's not just one group. They're playing as one. And it's been a long time since I've seen this defense play like that. So it's pretty impressive.
Well, impressive. There's so many great points in there, Jesse. I don't even know where to start. Just like quickly, I kind of just like through my head, went through a few teams, and like you might be right. That might be the best safety tandem in the league. Like I know the Chargers have a good duo. That was one of the first ones that came to mind. But like, you know, I don't know that you clearly say the Chargers have the better duo, really. Derwin James, amazing, but like, is like are Savage and Abels like individually like right up there too, and like both in tandem play such a great combo that incredible performance by all of them. Because here's like, okay, so yeah, shout out Russell Wilson. Now, probably not a coincidence, it's his first game back from his first injury ever, that at least first injury that's ever forced him to miss time. So, like, okay, yeah, the Rusty Wilson, as you mentioned it. But still, like, there were some great plays that he made, like some on-time passes that should have been receptions, but then, you know, just as well-timed pass knockdowns and pass breakups by several defensive backs. But Amos was probably like really leading the way for that, showing the example of exactly how to do that. And I mean, he's, you know, he's been fantastic. Really Savage since they drafted him. I mean, you know, maybe very first month of his rookie season might have struggled a little bit, but since then has just been on a roll. And yeah, so yeah, kudos to the entire defensive backfield, really. And yeah, one more thing you said with Stokes, right? Like, if ever, like you said, he's like, guys are never open against him, but if ever that is the case, he's also got the speed to come back and catch up. And we saw that a bit more in the early of the season, because like I said, lately now he's just not letting guys get away. So yeah, that's getting better as the season goes on, like as we often see that the elite rookies do, right? As they get more comfortable to the NFL, you know, or sometimes they also hit the wall, right? Like some rookies, okay, they do amazing right off the gap, and then, okay, you know, the physicality of the NFL that kind of weighs on them, and the end of the season is not so great. But it seems like so you sometimes see those two different projections in rookie there's another word for it, but anyway, great job for Stokes. He's better at covering it than I am at covering and figuring out words here. So great job.
With Stokes, you know, like all the physical tools are there, but the mental, you know, he's not making the same mistakes. Of course, he's going to make a mistake here or there, you know, but he's not doing it twice. And that really, it's very impressive. But yeah, that's enough on that group, I guess. We can't keep blowing them up.
Yeah, defensive backs, the secondary doesn't like too much attention, right? Because the more you talk about it, it's probably because they made a mistake, a bit like offensive linemen. Don't know. We love talking about them, giving them their credit, because they exactly for that reason, right? Instead of talking about them only whenever they get burned deep, talk about them when they're making such good plays. But time, right? Giving them their time, right? And I think that was also part of this. Like, as much as, okay, shutout, yeah, kudos to the defense. I think the offense deserves partial credit for that shutout. The time of possession, I mean, like, and right from the get-go, I think at halftime, it was the Packers had doubled up the Seahawks. I think the game ended almost double. 39 minutes of possession time for the Packers, 28-51 for the Seahawks. But at halftime, it was over 20 minutes to under 10 minutes for the Seahawks there. So, I think that was just as key, because, you know, you really didn't let Russell Wilson get into rhythm at all. They, you know, really long drives, would have liked to have more points. I think that maybe that's just okay. You held the ball for almost 40 minutes. You only got 17 points. Like, that's a little disappointing. You had a turnover in the red zone, interception by Rodgers. So maybe a little rust on that part there too. But for the most part, he seemed sharper. And again, I think, big credit to the offensive line, the running backs. They were gaining a lot of first downs. I mean, you look at, you know, both on the ground and through the air, really, because pass catching wise, in receiving yards, Dylan was second on the team. Jones was third, right? Like, Adams led the way. But then it was Dylan and Jones next in receiving yards. And, you know, that's your two running backs. So I think that was really key there. Yeah, it's unfortunate Jones did get hurt, because he was having such a great game. But A.J. Dillon didn't miss a beat and looked fantastic.
I think the biggest thing that with the offense was kind of clunky, right? It showed like they just never could get into that next gear. And the time of possession is, you know, it was great. Like, they're nice long drives, and then it would just like kind of break down. Or they'd kind of trip over their own foot. It wasn't, you know, they gave up the sack early in the game, and then for the most part, Rodgers was pretty clean. You know, of course, a few times he was hesitant to pull the trigger at times, because he did have protection. Then we missed some big plays. You know, there was one to Lazard where it was like Rodgers was just a tick late. Normally he drills that and gets it in his sleep. That's a 30-yarder. Lazard dropped two big passes. You know, one was pretty tough, but just little things, and a lot of it was timing. It looked like a quarterback that wasn't with his team for a week is what it looked like. But yeah, kudos to the ground game. You know, Dylan, it's kind of looking like, hey, he's going to come in, he's going to soften up this defense and or any defense. And then, you know, Aaron Jones, it's more let's get him in space or let's run those two screens to him were just beautiful. I would have kept running them until they stopped it, right? They were just set up so good. And there's one that he dropped that was a walk-in touchdown almost. So, yeah, another special teams blunder, but we'll leave it at that. But, yeah, it just seems like this offense is right there. They're just ready to break out. And, you know, 17 points, it's like, oh, is that breaking out? No. But you can just see that they're just barely missing, but it's almost ready to click. I don't know, even some of the game planning, too, is like that's almost ready to click, too. It's like Matt LaFleur is not in his zone that he got into last year. So, you know, another good week of practice. Eventually, this team's going to bust out. But, yeah, hopefully Jones can get back because the way they run the ball with this 1-2 punch and then how you can pass the ball, it's going to be hard to stop. And Matt LaFleur said it perfect. We're finding different ways to win. When something's not working, the other side of the ball or another area picks it up. And that's kind of what the offense, you know, they struggle a little bit here, but they did their part controlling the clock. Yeah, sorry, I went around my elbow to get to your point there.
That's okay. You can take up a lot of time talking about taking up a lot of time of possession, right? It's appropriate. It makes sense.
Right.
So the pro practice people in sports are going to love this because it shows, right? Like, you know, if Rodgers had a full week of practice, he probably would have played better. If he had any time practice really this week entering the game, he would have played better probably, right? So I think that's the kind of the importance of practice, right? Like it's not just about the games. Like you really do establish something that week of practice, and it's, you know, teams do it for a reason. They're not just wasting time. Like it's there for a reason. So like this whole like practice isn't important, and it's it kind of, you know, transcends sports, right? But I mean, for football, you know, that preparation is so important. But I mean, it really, like, again, find me the sport that isn't. So yeah, go practice, go. That's what we can say there.
Right. 100%. Go practice, go. But yeah, and it was timing, right? You know, like, yeah, these guys, they know what to do. But it was, if you just watch that game, it was just weird. I think even the announcer said, you know, it just seems like their timing and rhythm is just a little off. Well, of course, that's what it was. You know, you can't do that through a Zoom meeting all week. So yeah, that's behind us now. So yeah, hopefully, you know, it just all works out and we have our quarterback with us. And yeah, we don't have to worry about that stuff. That's all in the past, and we can practice together as a team the rest of the way.
Yeah, so for the rest of the episode, I think everyone by now knows it, but for new listeners, this is our time we talk about the Packers prime performer. So in every win, we pick out one Packers player that truly impacted. And yes, it's a team sport, but it is a team sport comprised of individual battles. So which player stood out as an individual this week in this 17-0 shutout, right? Like, you see shutout, you'd think defense, right? But Jesse, who's, you know, is there, are you thinking one player in particular? Is this easier than maybe some of the last couple of weeks, or are we going to have a really tough debate here?
I have two of them, so maybe you'll have to do the tiebreaker. But A.J. Dillon, just how he carried the load, got two touchdowns late that sealed the deal, had an awesome pass catch on a huge play. I mean, great play, great game by him. So it's either him or Adrian Amos was just amazing to me. Of course, if he would have squeezed an extra one or two interceptions, it would have been an easy pick, you know, pick. I mean, no pun intended to take him for this week. But that's the two guys that I'm torn between because they had amazing games.
It's funny. I was kind of thinking something similar. I guess if you want to give me the tiebreak, my initial thought was it was pretty easily Jones. And then kind of going back and thinking about it today, you know, Amos might deserve some credit there. But like with, did I say Jones?
You meant
Jones. I meant AJ. AJ. Yeah. Oh, boy. Clearly, I'm not the Packers prime performer. That's Jesse on this podcast. But no, I think it's A.J. Dillon for week 10. And it, like, okay, so going back to that screen pass, the 50-yard screen pass, right? Like, usually something has to go really well for that because, I mean, the offensive line did well there. I mean, they blocked for the first down. But then once he got the first down, everything else was Jones. Like, the balance along the sideline just to run and not, like, be running, like, as big as he is with Quadzilla and, what does he call his other quad? I can't remember, but, the Quadfather, I think. Anyway, running with those two machines down the field as fast as he was, and to just, like, you know, be able to tiptoe the sideline is incredible. To do it and, like, to just bounce off tackles, like, have all these guys trying to push you out to, like, never step an inch on that white stripe out of bounds was incredible to me. And like, you could, I think Bobby Wagner is one of the guys trying to make that tackle. Like, this is one of the best tacklers in the NFL, maybe the best tackler in the NFL, and he still couldn't get him down. Like, the balance, the speed, it's insane, really. I mean, and I think, you know, right from the combine, before he even was with the Packers, right? Like, the combine metrics and, like, his weight adjusted speed score was absolutely ridiculous, and it's like one of the highest ever in history. And he showed it on that play, and it was everything you needed. The contact balance, the burst, everything you want in a running back on that play. And it was huge on a drive. And it's funny, because looking at that game, it was part of me was thinking, yeah, this is going to come down to, and even, like, at halftime, I kind of thought this, like, okay, both these teams are going to kind of slug it out, and whichever team wakes up in the fourth quarter is winning this game. And it seemed like the Packers offense kind of did, and they finally found ways to get in the end zone, and like, that was really the only issue, right? Like, they were moving the ball well, but just, you know, couldn't score. Like, again, you mentioned the missed field goal. We, you know, let's not dread too much on special teams, because frankly, they actually had some good plays on special teams this week. I don't know if it's because the Seahawks are just so poor, but the first kickoff of the game, like the opening kickoff, I think it was like a 30-yard return for Malik Taylor. So, like, just him alone, like, the turnaround there was impressive. But we're gonna talk about the prime performers. Never gonna be on special teams. Well, it was Crosby that one week. But again, I think it's AJ Dillon. I think he's everything we need in a running back, and he's gonna be really needed these next few weeks. So I don't know if we're wasting that potential there, but I just felt like that was when the game was needed, he was the one making the plays. He's the one that you know, the line was, like even on his touchdown run, like, the line blocked well, but it's still him pushing through at the last minute to get that touchdown, make it a 3-score game at the end, and, like, really put it away. Because here's the thing with the Seahawks. I don't know if there's any controversy here. Some people might say, oh, you should have ran a couple more plays and just kicked the field goal less time, but then, you know, a field goal would have been a 2-score game. We've seen the Seahawks been able to kind of do it, and we know that, like, I knew the Seahawks would try till the very end. Like, they're a team that doesn't give up. Like, they keep, even if it seems like they should just kneel down, they won't. So I think Dillon finding the end zone there, like, you take those 7 points, you make it a 3-score game, and then you force them to score 3 times. If you really want to play it that way, you got to get 2 onside kicks, right? Like, and I mean, they scored 0 points, which is even better, but I think Dillon, to me, would be the answer this week.
Yep, he was the closer. If this was baseball, he came in and shut the door. I agree. It's AJ Dillon this week.
You know, if you think it's Adrian Amos, or you think differently, listeners, you can let us know on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Also, your co-host individually, Jesse's at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Center Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app. It's available for free on Android and iOS stores. Gives you access to all the Full Press Coverage content in one convenient place, and that is the Full Press Coverage app, which is for free. Shout out to PA the Second on Twitter at @PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song Nah You as our intro and outro music. So again, thank you, PA, for that. Thank you, all the listeners. Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners, aside from go practice, go?
Yeah, big division game coming up. That team to the west that wears purple that nobody likes. Big week. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, hopefully the Packers can win that divisional game. And hopefully you enjoyed this episode of the Full Press Packers Pod.